I said, listen, if I could do baseball, right, well, standing on my head. Mm-hmm. Okay. I could do it standing on my head, period. I've done basketball. I've done, you know, but I could do straight baseball standing on my head.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and if you don't believe me, why don't you do this? Put me and Ozzy for one game.
Oh my goodness. That would be outstanding.
Ozzy be the analyst and I'll be the play-by-play guy and we'll break all records. I don't care who they got.
You ain't kidding. Put me and
Ozzy on for one game.
Right.
One game. That's all. But they won't. But don't tell me I can't do something. And that's what I did tell him when he said, well, you've never done baseball before. And I said, well, I never did radio before. I never did a lot of things. Never owned a hot dog stand before. I never did a lot of things before. That has no bearing. I said, besides, your manager never managed before.
Hey everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's Tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the bar room with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com.
What's up and welcome back to Bar Down Blackhawk Talk, episode number 24, presented by the Barroom Network. My name is Vinny Parisi, and I'm here with Joey Parisi and Joseph. It's football season. What's up?
What's up? It is football season, and I'm actually very excited. We just drafted a couple gems of fantasy squads. Who's your quarterback? Just say it. Say his name.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, the GOAT. I have Justin Herbert in our league. This is like our big league. Would you agree that the league that we're in together is like our main league?
Yeah. So if people ask me like, oh, who's your fantasy? I have four leagues. I'm not going to like sit there and try to remember the four quarterbacks I have. The one league, the family league, the big money league. That's the one. I have Tom Brady.
The bragging rights league. I could give a shit about the money. It's the bragging rights that I want.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you want to smoke me, I want to smoke you. But I will say this is the type of league where if I don't win, I want you to win. And I wonder if you feel the same. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like in fantasy hockey, I hope you lose every game.
Yeah, you said it right, because this is the one league where I feel that way. When it comes to fantasy hockey, I hope you come in last place every single time because you stink.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I never want you to even look at that trophy ever again if I have anything to say about it. But fantasy football, we don't know every single person in the league, like on a personal level. So I'm going to root for the people I know outside of myself. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. And having, you know, Justin Herbert on your bench, that must mean you got someone even better up front, because I think Justin Herbert's going to be awesome this year. So I waited a little bit on my quarterback. It's kind of one of my little strategies. But I think Justin Herbert's going to be awesome. So I wouldn't be surprised if you end up starting him a couple games, depending on who your starter is.
Yeah, honestly, unless you have like Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes or not Tom Brady, I would start Herbert over Brady, and I'm a Tom guy.
Yeah.
But like, unless it's one of those like top Aaron Rodgers, Herbert on your bench, good for you, man.
Yeah. I would also just like to go ahead and throw out the fact that this is probably the first show with no hat on. Kind of just letting, I'm free balling it today.
You look like Glasnow. He has that kind of hair.
No, Glasnow's hair is like down to here.
Well, yeah, but that style.
All right. Well, Vinny confirmed that Glasnow is sexy, and he just called me Glasnow. So confirmed, Vinny thinks I am sexy.
I love Glasnow. I'll just leave it at that. Football, though. First off, tomorrow, I know this is a hockey show, but like 2 weeks until training camp, the prospects haven't even shown up yet. Like, we'll get into the hockey. Don't you worry. Football, too. Tomorrow, Buccaneers, Cowboys. Early thoughts before we get real dirty into this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, we already talked about Tom, the GOAT, Super Bowl champ. Some kind of banner raising, I'm sure, right?
Again.
Again, he's used to it. Gronk's used to it. I'm used to it. I was just
I have seven rings as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. That's the hat I really fucked up. I should have threw on my Bucks championship hat. I guess that'll be
I planned on wearing it tomorrow for game day on Crosstown Crosstalk.
Yeah.
We're going to talk more about Tom tomorrow, too. You better believe it.
I was going to wear this hat tomorrow. My newest addition to my hat collection, the Atlanta Braves, but Tom Brady tomorrow. That's going to be the tomorrow's play. Well, yeah, I mean, what a trip we had. But anyway, back to tomorrow. I like the Cowboys. I don't necessarily think they're going to be, you know, the best, but I like them as a team.
Oh.
No, yeah, I'm not saying I like the Cowboys in this game. I think the Bucs are going to absolutely destroy them.
Actually?
Actually, it's
are you going to take them to cover 8?
I would take him to cover 8. Yeah. I don't know if I'm probably not going to bet the game just because I don't plan on betting this opening like a couple weeks.
He retired when the Bruins got eliminated.
Yeah. But if I was currently, you know, throwing money around, I would be taking the Bucks.
Yeah.
-8.
I think I'm going to parlay the Bucks money line with the under 51, I believe it is. And if like,
I wouldn't be surprised with that because I mean, the Bucks defense is great. The only issue is like if they let's say they do give up like 15 points and the Bucks snap, like drop 30 something. I mean,
they probably will give up like 15 points, but let's say it's 30 to 17.
It depends what the over under is, isn't it? Isn't it like what 52?
51, I think 51 and a half, something like that. Last time I looked. So I mean, I like the Buccaneers in every facet of this game.
Yeah,
I don't trust. I'm the only person on planet Earth that thinks Dak Prescott is not a top 10 quarterback. And I might be the only person on Earth that thinks Ezekiel Elliott is wildly overrated, even though the numbers simply tell you that he gets worse every season.
So, yeah. I mean,
good receiving core, though. Good receiving core. When CD Lamb is like your third best receiver, good receiving core.
And that was just, you say third best. He was a rookie last year. He could well be their best receiver. Yeah.
I mean, what's his name? Amari Cooper. He could like snap too.
Yeah.
So.
And I would, it depends on the matchup. Who's Green Bay playing in week one?
Oh, no, it doesn't. Aaron Rodgers is better than Justin Herbert.
Yeah, but there might be weeks where Herbert puts up more points. You got to look at that in fantasy. I don't care.
I'm talking Rodgers has like the Bears, the Vikings, and the Lions in his way. And Herbert has the Chiefs and the Raiders.
Who are the Packers playing in week one?
Honestly,
The Chargers are playing the football team, I think.
Oh, they are playing the football team? I mean, that's a good defense. So I'm starting Rodgers in that.
Yeah, I'm not saying in week one. Yeah, start Rodgers in week one. But there will be weeks. I would not be surprised. Go with Herbert.
Do you like the Bears against the Rams?
It's such a big question mark.
I think they're going to get smoked.
Really?
Like, I'm taking the spread on the – I'm not betting on it. I don't bet against my teams. It's just like a little personal rule I have, like, because all my teams, except for the White Sox, kind of stink. And, okay, the Packers playing the Saints. I actually low-key am very high on Jameis Winston this season. I know that doesn't affect Rodgers in any way, shape, or form, but part of me thinks we're going to see Jameis Winston. I'm not saying like a top 10 guy – maybe probably never live up to being the number one overall pick way back when. But I don't know. I like the Saints this year. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs necessarily, which we'll get into that in just a second before we start talking hockey. But no, I do not like the Bears against the Rams at all.
Yeah.
My over-under on Fields taking over half a snap, I'm taking the over. He will play.
You think he will play?
I do think he will.
Unless the Bears are winning.
If Andy Dalton comes out and somehow by an act of miracle God puts up 35 points and they win, yeah, then I don't think Fields would play. I just don't see that happening. I actually see quite the opposite. I see Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey putting the fear of God in Andy Dalton's eyeballs.
Yeah, I mean, I also have Montgomery, so I mean, hand the ball to him.
Montgomery, Montgomery is solid. I'm a Montgomery guy.
So am I.
So I'm rooting for him to be a really good running back. I liked it when the Bears made the trade up to select him many moons ago in the draft. Not many moons ago, but 2-3 years now, out of Iowa State. And what do you got for playoffs? I know it's always fun to just make these like early season playoff predictions. We're going to do the exact same thing in hockey in a couple weeks. So,
yeah. So I'll just go through the AFC real quick, and then I'll hand it to you for the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll switch to the NFC. Does that work?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So from the AFC, I'll just go through the division winners first, and then I'll give you my wildcard teams.
Sure.
In the AFC East, I have the Patriots winning it. Yeah, they're going to be better than the Bills. Mac Jones, my guy. I'm not going to justify every team I say, but don't sleep on the New England Patriots. They are back.
Imagine hearing that sentence in 2015. Don't sleep on the Patriots.
Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind that they're going to be significantly better than they were last year. And last year, they weren't even like god awful. Like they were not great.
7-9 in a couple of early season plays.
Exactly. In the AFC West, you got the Chiefs winning that.
That might be the biggest lock of this entire thing. I'm not going to keep interrupting you, but I mean, that might be the biggest lock of all of these.
No, I know. I couldn't agree more. In the AFC North, this is probably one of the harder ones. I really want to say the Browns. I really want to say the Browns.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say the Browns. The AFC South, the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
So, and then three wildcard teams, the Bills from the AFC East, the Chargers from the AFC West. And here's a sneaky one for you. The Jacksonville Jaguars from the AFC South.
All right.
What?
We were so close to being 7-for-7 aligned. I'm stunned that you picked the Jacksonville Jaguars. That roster stinks.
Trevor Lawrence.
Hey, every year a team goes from worst to first. So, and you know, guys surprise.
I'm not saying they're going to be the best.
It's not an egregious pick. I would have laughed at you if you like, when we get to the NFC, you like pick Detroit or something. But Jacksonville, it's a weaker division. So, I mean,
I just want to see Trevor Lawrence become amongst the greats.
Well, I mean, what did they say? Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence. Like those were the three, you know, what do you call it? The three like can't miss prospects coming out of college. So yeah. I don't hate the pick. We agree on everything except for two things. I have the Chiefs coming out of the, the West. So I'm with you on that. I do have the Cleveland Browns winning the AFC North, and I don't even think it's going to be close. I'm watching First Take yesterday, and they're talking as if it's a two-horse race between the Browns and the Steelers. And then Molly Karam brought up the.
I was on the fence between. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised with any one of those teams winning it.
I think the Steelers are going to come in last.
Yeah, I wasn't on the fence with the Steelers. I was
going to be better than them.
I was really on the fence with the Ravens, I'm not going to lie. Just because they always seem to, you know.
Yeah, they're one of those franchises. Yeah.
But don't be surprised a full season with Joe Burrow as well over in Cincinnati. Like, who knows?
Yeah. So I got the Browns winning it. I think they're going to win it by two or more games. I do have the Tennessee Titans winning the South. And then I have the Buffalo Bills defeating our Patriots for the division title crown. But I do have the Patriots being one of the wild card teams. I do have the San Diego / Los Angeles Chargers being another one. I really like that team.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't roll with the Jaguars. If you're wrong, we'll clip that and play it later, and you can laugh at everyone right in the face. I got the Baltimore Ravens.
I just think Trevor Lawrence is that good. He's going to be able – I think he's going to be fine.
I think he's going to have the best career out of all the rookies, but I do not think he's going to have the best season of all the rookies. I think that will be Mac Jones.
Well, I don't hate that at all.
AFC or NFC.
All right.
Talking about football.
Yeah, it's all good. This is a warm-up. This is warm-up to period one.
Yeah.
The NFC East, I'll go with the Washington football team, regardless of them losing in week one. The NFC West, I will go with the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
The NFC North, I will go with the I want to say Bears. If Fields like ends up being sick and after like week two and they end up like figuring out and fucking winning, but I'm going to say Packers.
You saved yourself.
No, but if Justin Fields was announced to start in week one, I'd probably be saying the Bears.
All right.
In the NFC South, I will obviously go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Oh, and then wild cards. The LA Rams from the NFC West.
Mm-hmm.
The New Orleans Saints.
Ooh.
From the NFC South.
Famous Jameis.
And your Chicago Bears.
Ooh, Joey's got the Bears making the playoffs. Don't hate that one bit. I hope that's one of those times you get to brag at everyone. We're all over the place in the NFC between me and you.
Really?
I have the Los Angeles Rams winning the West. I have the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning the South. I have the Washington football team winning the NFC East. And the Green Bay Packers winning the NFC North. Not much there. The only thing we disagree on is the West, but you have the Rams making it as a wild card. I have the Seattle Seahawks making it as a wild card, so that's one of mine. The San Francisco 49ers, I believe, will be a wild card team. So I do believe the NFC West is going to pump out three playoff teams. And then to hang on to that last spot, people are going to probably give me some hate for this. I got the New York Football Giants coming out as the last wild card team. They might be like 9-7. You know, I do think one team is going to go 8-8-1 this season because, oh, you can't go 500 anymore. Wrong. But I don't know. I like the Giants. Saquon Barkley's back. I don't like Daniel Jones. I think he's Mitch 2.0, but I think he's going to really be Mitch 2.0 by tricking people in year number two. Or I guess this might be three, but the team around him, Kenny Galladay, is pretty good. They made a run last year, and at Northern Illinois University's own Kenny Galladay. Shout out to the New York Football Giants. That's partially why I'm a little biased towards them. But that is my NFC, and I'm very excited for the football season. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Bears make the playoffs. I'm a big Bears fan. And I see this question from Donald McKendry.
I would 100% take Trevor Lawrence over Justin Fields. That's just my opinion. We're talking about people who haven't, you know, proven themselves at the NFL level yet, and that's what I'm saying going into it.
I also would take Trevor Lawrence over Justin Fields. I would take Trevor Lawrence over Kirk Cousins, Daniel Jones, Jimmy Garoppolo, any of the like pretty good quarterbacks in the NFL that aren't really superstars, but they're pretty good. Baker Mayfield, like just guys who are solid quarterbacks, but not like super duper stars. If they're on the right team, they might succeed type guys. But Trevor Lawrence, when he was at Clemson, they're talking about this guy as like a generational talent. And even if Justin Fields goes on to be like a Hall of Fame level, like great quarterback, nobody pegged him as like a Hall of Fame generational talent right out of college. That he wouldn't have slipped to 11 if that were the case. He wouldn't have been the fourth quarterback taken. So that's just where I'm at.
Yeah. And we're definitely not smoking anything. As much as we'd like to be, we are not smoking anything. So, I mean, I'm sure we'll be talking about these picks, you know, 18 weeks from now when things are, you know, all said and done.
I would just, instead of asking what we're smoking, like, what do you disagree with? Like, I mean, everything we said is borderline, not unanimous, but like, most people think the Chiefs are going to be good, the Rams, the Pat. Like, I don't think we said anything like egregious. The only thing, unless he's referring to the,
I think the Trevor Lawrence
thing, but like, yeah. Lawrence was the number one overall pick, and they were saying he'd be the number one overall pick in like five straight drafts.
Yeah.
Like, when he was in high school, they were like, oh, this kid, that this five star recruit that's going to Clemson, he's going to replace Deshaun Watson and he's going to be the number one pick. I see the comment, what has Trevor proven? Absolutely nothing.
No, but no one has. You guys are acting like Justin Fields is coming in as a Super Bowl champion.
And Justin Fields is being developed by that trash bag organization known as the Chicago Bears, the team that hasn't developed a quarterback properly in 100 years.
And I'm not
like the Jacksonville Jaguars are that either. But like, at least they've been in the AFC title game within the last 5 years.
And let me know if you agree.
Tom, they had a halftime lead over Tom with Blake Bortles.
Let me know if you agree with this. If the Bears would have somehow gotten their hands on Trevor Lawrence, even after signing Andy Dalton would be on the fucking bench and Trevor Lawrence would be
1,000% true. You are so right. I could not agree with you more. And they would have traded Khalil Mack, two firsts, and Eddie Jackson for that number one overall.
Trevor Lawrence wouldn't be watching week one from the sideline like Justin Fields is about to.
Yeah, and that's not a...
I'm not saying that's the smart move either. Like, I think Justin Fields should be starting in week one.
Yes, but now, do you think Justin Fields has a chance to be better than Lawrence?
Could there's it a chance? Well, there's a chance a rookie could be better than any rookie going into it. Like, we don't know anything. Exactly. No one knows
exactly.
Anything.
None of them have proven anything. Just based on what we've seen so far, is that Trevor Lawrence is like this sweet guy. And I hope Fields is Mahomes, the guy who fell in the draft. Some smart team traded up to pick him, and he turns out to be the best. It's certainly a chance. I've seen Trevor Lawrence play bad in exactly one game. One. And it was the national championship against LSU, who had a bunch of defensive players go on in the NFL draft 2 months later. So Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, they're comparable. There's no doubt about it. But there were two quarterbacks taken in between them. Two NFL franchises believed that two guys not named Trevor Lawrence were better than Justin Fields, and that's Trey Lance and Zach Wilson. So, and there were people probably that thought Mac Jones was better. You know, if New England probably would have taken Fields over Mac Jones, but maybe not. So, I don't know. It's all a bunch of yip yappity yip 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 until they play some games. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
It's the same thing in hockey. The only player in NHL history I knew for a fact was going to be so sweet going into year one was Connor McDavid. Auston Matthews, a little bit, just because of the way he played in the World Cup of Hockey. He had like 5 goals in 3 games or whatever it was. So Auston Matthews, kind of, but McDavid was like the same thing. And, you know, it's not like that in football because you don't know how they're going to handle being hit by, you know, well, let's say Trevor Lawrence takes a hit from Aaron Donald at some point in his career. How's he going to handle that? You know, there are different variables in football as opposed to hockey. I think the brain has a lot to do with it too. Being able to pick up offenses, learn from coaches, all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, I think this opening segment has kind of designated me as a Trevor Lawrence guy. Go Jags. Like, now I gotta stick with that.
Yeah. Special shout out to Trevor Lawrence too. I know.
But
some people I know have him as their fantasy quarterback, and I'm pretty excited for them.
But I want to make it very clear. I really wish Justin Fields was starting week one. I literally said, if you were here when we were doing our predictions, that if Justin Fields was the starter for week one, I would have them winning the division over Green Bay. But I think Matt Nagy is going to fuck this thing up so bad this year that who knows?
I just hope it doesn't ruin Justin forever. I think about it every single day. Every single day I wake up and go, I hope Justin Fields doesn't get stunted.
I don't think that deep.
And let me be clear, I would have that fear if it were Trevor Lawrence on the Bears too. Absolutely.
But like I said, I think Trevor Lawrence would be starting week one if he was on the Bears.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that take about Trevor Lawrence not doing anything in college. All he did in college was win. Clemson was probably the second best overall team throughout Trevor Lawrence's collegiate career at Clemson. I mean, and Ugalele is a good player, but he came in and, you know, they lost to Georgia in week one. Would Trevor Lawrence have beaten Georgia? Trevor Lawrence was trending on Twitter during the Georgia-Clemson game because it was like, well, what if he was playing? So, I don't know. Jake Fromm is an entirely different thing. Jake Fromm was a game manager that relied heavily on his defense. I was at the SEC title game between Georgia and LSU, and LSU ate him up. He went in the fifth round for a reason. There are plenty of things to look at. There's how you win. There's how you process defense. There's how you process everything. And the way Trevor Lawrence wins opposed to the way Jake Fromm wins is exactly why my win point is relevant. Because you can see in the game, it's like comparing Tom Brady to Mitchell Trubisky. Mitchell Trubisky won some games. But, like, you see why Mitchell Trubisky won some games and you compare it to why Tom Brady wins games and you get your answer.
On that note, we probably will go this whole hour and a half talking about football, but there is some hockey we need to address here.
And with that, we'd like to send you to period number one.
As much as I would love to hear you go back and forth, I know you will go all day about, you know, Justin Fields this, Trevor Lawrence that, Lawrence doesn't win, Lawrence only wins. So with that being said, it looks like you just got to tune in every week. I'm sure we'll talk about every week in football on the show. It was just a little glance of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to say, though, that Trevor Lawrence never took over a game is just, like, misreading, you know, statistics and stuff like that. Like, he threw for 3,100 yards and had a 69% completion percentage in 2020 for Clemson. And they only played 10 games. That's why the yards is a little lower than earlier in his career where he played 15 games. The ACC didn't get as many games in as, you know, they probably would have liked. But, I mean, be Heisman candidate every single year. He came in second in 2020, seventh in 2019. As a sophomore. So, I mean, yeah, they smoked Notre Dame. They beat everyone. The one game Clemson lost last year was the game Trevor Lawrence didn't play. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like this whole, you know, topic of discussion is being kind of mistruded. Is that the word? That we're like shitting on Justin Fields and we want Lawrence to just do better than Fields. Honestly, this is an irrelevant debate between the two. Like, I hope they both do good.
They probably both will do good. I just fear the Bears' ability to develop guys. But we're in period one. We're talking about hockey. Did you actually think Montreal wasn't gonna sign Jesperi Kotkaniemi?
I think you kind of persuaded me a little bit last week when we talked about it. And then when I went on Cap Friendly and we looked at it and I don't know, I'm still convinced that Cap Friendly knew something we didn't. Because it said, I was looking at it and it said that Kotkaniemi was on the Carolina Hurricanes acquired via offer sheet the same way Sebastian Aho was. And it ended up coming true. And you persuaded me on that by bringing up the fact that, you know, it's a 1 year thing. He might not be worth $6 million on a 1 year deal right now. So why not take the first and third round pick? Like, it to me, it became a no brainer for me. So, I mean, now Carolina has him and I think he's going to be a good fit, but I mean, we'll see how he does in this 1 year. And we'll see if those picks come back to haunt them.
Yeah. I think the picks, I don't necessarily are going to, you know, come back and haunt them, but I do think that they use those picks in a trade like 10 minutes later. We'll get to that in a minute, but I was stunned. Like I predicted that this was going to happen, but then when it did, it was like, holy crap, an offer sheet worked.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting it. The last time, well, we went over the list last time and it was like 2013 was the last successful offer sheet, right?
2007. I thought Penner.
Oh, 2013 was the last submitted offer sheet before
Aho. Before the Aho.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see if this, maybe this is going to become a new regular thing. I'm kind of all for it. It adds a little drama in the league. So we'll see.
Yeah. And I mean, I got the trade right here after. Montreal made a trade seconds after losing Kotkaniemi to the Hurricanes, and they acquired Christian Dvorak, who could just generally straight up replace Kotkaniemi, for a first round pick in the 2022 NHL draft and Carolina's first round pick. Oh, it's the better of Montreal's first round pick or Carolina's first round pick via the offer sheet and Montreal's second in the 2024 NHL draft. So, I mean, they basically got a similar player in Dvorak in exchange for Kotkaniemi, and they used some of the leverage given to them, the assets given to them from Carolina, in order to make that trade. I like the comment about Kotkaniemi being a better version of Saad. I mean, Saad's a great player. It's hard to say that a kid who's like 23 could be Saad. But Saad's down years, I don't know if Kotkaniemi has the potential to have his up years, but could he be also better in his down years? Is the floor higher for Kotkaniemi? I don't know. But Montreal did the right thing, I would say.
Yeah. Real quick, just looking at Carolina's projected lines here on Daily Faceoff, which I don't necessarily know if I agree with. The top line I agree with, they have Svechnikov, Aho, Teravainen. Then the second line, they have Niederreiter, Trocheck, and Martin Nekas.
Nietzsche's.
That name kind of rings a bell.
We saw him play for the Charlotte Checkers against the Chicago Wolves in the Calder Cup final.
Okay. And then they have Kotkaniemi, Jordan Staal, and Jesper Fast on that third line, which I don't know. I feel like Kotkaniemi will get top six ice time. So.
Yeah. It is. The GM did confirm that left wing to start for Kotkaniemi. So not center, going to play some left wing. And I think that's probably good for him, don't you?
Yeah. Also, did I miss a Tony DeAngelo signing in Carolina?
Yeah, they signed him like early in the offseason, and people roasted him for it.
I
that motherfucker so
yeah, that went right over my head because I'm looking right now. He's on their second defensive pairing with Brady Shea, and that kind of just caught me off guard. I had no idea he was going to be playing.
If Tony DeAngelo wanted to come on this show, I would tell him no. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. No, Mr. NHL player, I do not want you on my show. He's the only player in sports that is not welcome on this show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and disagree. I'm excited to see Carolina play the Rangers and see what comes out of that, if anything.
I'm excited to see them play the Habs.
Especially with, you got Revo in New York now.
Oh, I would love to see Revo just punch DeAngelo right in the face. That would be so sweet.
There's a lot of reasons why he would want to.
Yeah, 100%.
You want to refresh our audience on what exactly happened with Tony DeAngelo and why it's a shocker to us?
Well, the thing that got him officially cut by the Rangers was him trying to fight his goalie, Georgiev. And, on Twitter, he's like super racist. And
he's very controversial. Like, he's a controversial off the ice person.
Yeah, he's like a polarizing type player in like a bad way. And just no good comes from Tony DeAngelo. He's a prick. And like I said, he has no place in the NHL. I'm actually kind of disgusted that he's on Carolina. I would have liked to see him fuck off to the KHL, but screw that guy. We don't need to spend much more time talking about him. I don't want to talk about him.
Yeah. But looking at as a whole, this Carolina team, like it's pretty good. And I think Kotkaniemi is going to fit in nicely playing with some other Finns on that who kind of run that team. So,
yeah. Is that the new big rivalry in the NHL now?
What would you say, Carolina?
Montreal. New York? No, Montreal. Oh,
Carolina, Montreal. Stuff. Oh, I feel like
for people's memories, Carolina or Montreal offered an offer sheet to Sebastian Aho. He signed it. Carolina matched it. 2 years later, almost to the day, Carolina tries to get back at them by offer sheeting their eligible offer sheet player. And their like explanation was just the exact one Montreal gave with the names switched, which is actually really funny. And then it actually worked this time. It was the first successful offer sheet since Dustin Penner signed one in 2007.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to really create much of a rivalry. It didn't when they did it. It didn't when Montreal did it for Aho. Nothing was really ever came of it.
It didn't work.
It didn't work. But I also don't think, I don't think Carolina did it to Montreal 100% just like as a dag at them. They actually wanted Kotkaniemi.
Yeah, sure. Every team wants Kotkaniemi. But I do think had Montreal not done that to Aho, they would not have done it.
Okay, that's fair. Another reason why I don't think it's going to translate, though, this is an office rivalry, maybe. The players don't give a fuck, and that's what's going to be on the ice. The players aren't going to care who offer sheeted who and what's going on in the front offices between general managers and you know, ownership. It's not going to matter one bit. If there's a rivalry between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Montreal Canadiens, it's going to be because of shit that goes on the ice, not because of any of this bullshit.
Unless it happens early. If they fight early, there's a line brawl early, you know.
I mean, I guess, but I'd be shocked if that happened. These teams haven't played each other in years.
So. Yeah, that's true. I do think Kotkaniemi is a good player. It was interesting that we had someone in the chat compare him to Saad, because I remember Saad was actually about to receive an offer sheet in 2015, I want to say it was. Pittsburgh was about to offer sheet him to play on Sydney's wing, and the Hawks knew that was coming, so they just traded him to Columbus.
Which would have been cool, because isn't he from Pittsburgh, Brandon Saad?
He is from Pittsburgh, and I think Saad playing with one of Sidney Crosby or Evgeny Malkin would be so sick.
Yeah, I agree.
That's pretty much all on the offer sheet. I'm shocked at the way it went, and it's just really funny. And I do think social media makes offer sheets look more negative than they actually are. They're written into this collective bargaining agreement for a reason.
It's part of the business, in my
opinion. Exactly. And I'm a little surprised that the reaction that it gets, as if it's something that's just, it's like an unwritten rule not to submit one. And now teams are doing it. And I hope they continue. I hope the Devils offer sheet Quinton Hughes before the off season's over.
I think it should be a thing more often too. Like, hey, if you're going to take forever and, you know, beat around the bush on signing your amazing player, we'll do it. We'll sign him. Let us offer him something, and or let us offer you something to either accept or deny. And I think it should happen more often.
Do you think Montreal helped Carolina by offer sheeting Sebastian Aho?
Yes, because it saved the Hurricanes all the negotiation, and
it wasn't that good of an offer sheet. They offered him only $8 million. They didn't have the balls to offer him $10 million and lose an extra pick if Carolina didn't match. They didn't have the balls. Carolina would have matched 10. I believe that.
Yeah, they were in no position to lose Aho. They were going for a cup during that time.
Aho's better than Kotkaniemi by a lot.
Yes. He always and will now be. They're both.
And now
Aho's their best player. I don't care how good Tavo does or Svechnikov. I think Aho is their best player.
Svechnikov is in the running.
He's in the running.
He's very, very good.
He's in the running.
Svechnikov is more, he could score and shoot. Aho, or he could score and pass. Aho is like a playmaker, which is why people consider him better, because when you're a playmaker, like, you make everyone around you better, and it's just more of like you're the perceived better player, which is like think of Crosby versus Ovechkin. They're very similar in terms of points, but Sidney makes everyone around him better, where Ovechkin is just like, let's score lots of goals.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I think that's it for the offer sheet business. I'm sure we'll be talking about Carolina, Montreal lot this year, and I'm very excited for it. So you ready to head on over to period number two?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. And welcome to period number two, where we're going to talk about something that I really wanted to talk about for a long time. And we got a couple things we're going to talk about, but leading off, we're going to talk about my favorite player in NHL history, and that is Zach Parise. And I do not believe either of us would be as big of hockey fans right now. Joey will argue with me until the cows come home. I do not believe that I would be as into hockey had I not fallen in love with watching Zach Parise play back in like 2009, 2010. And, you know, he's been an amazing player in his NHL career. In fact, I'm going to pull up his stats right now.
I got him right here. You want me to say?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the reason it like kind of came up now is because he signed with the New York Islanders, but they haven't officially announced it yet. And the reasoning is like, because they have to like submit it to the league or something, which just seems weird to me because like that doesn't take very long. So what's taking so long to, you know, make this happen now? But he was seen playing in Debuty League, which is like a summer offseason league between NHL players in Minnesota, where Zach is from. And he was seen wearing like blue and orange breezers. So he's an Islander. There's no doubt about it. And that's after playing the first, you know, what is it, 15 years of his career with the New Jersey Devils and Minnesota Wild. So Zach Parise. Yeah.
He in 1,060 games played, he's got 393 goals, 417 assists for 810 points. So,
7 goals next season till 400.
That's
a milestone.
That'll be a cool milestone, and you know, that one that he'll certainly get. And this guy is one of those, I wouldn't say he's a Hall of Famer, but he is a very, very close, you know, Hall of Good player, and he deserves a Stanley Cup, and it's something that has eluded him, especially you know, he made it to the Cup and lost in 2012. The Minnesota Wild have been some pretty dominant teams in his tenure there, and now he gets another shot, you know, very lucky for him to go to an Islanders team that's ready to win right now. So if there's one benefit out of those New York Islander, you know, dicks winning, it's the fact that Zach Parise will get a Stanley Cup, and it'll make me, I don't want to say root for it, but I won't be as mad when I see that man hoist it. So
you do consider yourself a Zach Parise guy though? Like you'd want him to win?
Yes, I would want Zach Parise to win a Stanley Cup if, you know, if they weren't going against a team that I also had a rooting interest in. But
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I understand. I want him to win a cup so bad. I'm excited to see him score 400 goals. I don't believe anyone has scored their 400th since Patrick Kane. And I do know Patrick Kane was the 100th player in NHL history to score 400 goals. I think it'd be really cool if Parise became the 101st and they were back-to-back 400 goal scorers.
Yeah, and to go back to what you said about him signing with the Islanders and it not being announced yet, but it's like a fact that he's playing on the New York Islanders. If you go to the team's official roster, he's not there. If you go to the cap friendly, he's not on the roster. But if you type in his name on Google, it says Zachary Justin Parise is an American professional ice hockey left winger for the New York Islanders. So it's pretty...
Justin Parise.
It's pretty officially unofficial that he is on the New York Islanders.
Yeah, which I'm all for. I'm not an Islander guy, but I'm an Islander guy now. Until he's gone, I'm an Islander guy. I got to get a jersey.
I was going to say,
by the start of the season.
I was going to say, if you don't get an Islanders jersey, like, you fucked up. Because you have every single Zach Parise jersey, like, in his career, pretty much. Yeah. So... you got to get an Islanders jersey.
Oh, I'll get an Islanders jersey. There's no doubt about it. And I do think they're going to make a pretty good playoff run. Maybe Parise will be the leadership and playoff presence that they need to get them over that Game 7 hump. Who's competing with them in the Eastern Conference? We're gonna get into playoff previews, kind of like what we just did for football to like open the show, because this is a hockey show. But I mean, Tampa Bay, Boston, Toronto, Washington, Pittsburgh. The Islanders are right there with all of them.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I am Scox said that about Kane scoring his 400th goal against the Wings. It kind of got me thinking, who could Zach's 400th goal be against? And I believe their opening game is against Carolina.
He needs 7, though. Don't forget. That could be like December.
Yeah, I know. So I'm looking at the schedule, and I'm looking, and
it's going to be against the Devils.
If he starts off, you know, on a good foot, they play the Devils November 11th. It would be cool if he scored it against the Rangers on November 28th. That would be really cool.
Because he hates the Rangers. When he was a free agent in between the Devils and Wild, someone was like, is there a chance you sign with the Rangers? No. Like, emphatic no. And now when he suits up for the Islanders for the first time, he will have played for the Rangers' two biggest rivals, which just warms my heart in every way.
Yeah, I'm trying to look to see when he makes the trip on over to our home. And
I'm coming. Oh,
I just straight up can't find it because I've actually never seen Zach Parise play in person.
Oh, I have many times.
I know. And I just never made it out to a Wild game. And then when he was in the Devil, I know. So I'm trying to look. I don't know why I'm like blind. Do they not come to Chicago?
They come to Chicago. Every team does.
Here it is. Wow. The third game of the season, October 19th. That's why I couldn't find it. That is like a month away. So if you wanna go see your boy Zach Parise, the one shot you have this season, it's gonna be
October 19th. Oh, I'll be there. So Zach Parise, he's been an incredible player. I do think he's gonna come up just short of the Hall of Fame, which really, really sucks. Cause it looked like he was like almost a shoe-in in like 2014-15. But injuries and stuff have kind of derailed the second half of his career. But he's a good player still, and I have all the faith in the world in him, especially after the way he played for the Wild against Vegas in the playoffs last year. So,
yeah, and Tony asked if he would look like a non-hockey fan if he went to a rink wearing an Islanders jersey. I don't know if you agree with this. It seems like when you go to a rink or something, unless you're going to a game where it's one team versus another team, hockey fans love seeing other hockey jerseys. I know when I'm out in public and I see some guy walking around in a Carolina Hurricanes jersey or a Tampa Bay Lightning jersey or a San Jose Sharks jersey, I think that's the coolest thing in the world coming from a hockey fan. So you wear that Islanders jersey proud, wear it wherever you want, whenever you want.
Yeah, hockey's almost it's the most like braggadocious sport in terms of like the gear you pick up. Like, oh, look at this sick Islanders jersey. So you know, I know that guy's my friend because of, you know, he likes hockey. But if someone's wearing like your rival baseball team, it's like, ugh, get away from me.
Exactly.
So I'm all for wearing the Islanders jersey, Tony. Go for it. And, you know, keep watching hockey. It's the best. It's right there with football and baseball. I don't want to hear anyone say it's not. And we can have civilized debate about things going on in hockey, similar to like what we do with football, like Trevor Lawrence. Like there are polarized, like the Fields versus Lawrence debate. Like there are similar things in hockey. Connor McDavid, it's kind of undebatable. Like if you don't think McDavid's the best player, you're just ignorant. Like you're just being a troll or like a contrarian. But like we can have a debate for hours over who the second best player is, right? Like there's McKinnon, there's Matthews, Leon Draisaitl, Sidney Crosby now, who used to be the undeniable best, but you know, mid 30s now. But
how about we show Tony what goes on with a little hockey debate when talking about players, when talking about some right wings.
Right wings. The National Hockey League is loaded with great ones. I'm gonna pull up my list. I'm pulling up my list.
I got a list right here. I don't have a list. I just have like the list of right wingers.
And for those who are like new to the show, I know we got a couple in here. And we've been previewing fantasy hockey based on position for the last, what, this is the fourth week now.
Mm-hmm.
So we started with the goaltenders. Then we went to defensemen. Then last week we did left wings. Today we're doing right wings. And next week is where we'll get real interesting. I'll probably dedicate a whole period to it because center is just the best. So this week is right wings.
The thing I love about, you know, talking about the forward positions left wing, and I will get to it next week with center, but I get to go off right now for a quick second. My boy, the best right wing, one of them, David Pastrnak, will lead the league in goals playing a full 82-game year. I don't care what you say about your center, Austin Matthews. I don't care what you have to say about Ovechkin at left wing. David Pastrnak is going to be back on his horse this year. That's my top right wing going into it. Close second, I think Patrick Kane is going to have another great year. I think the Hawks are going to be better. Mark Stone, we've talked about. Mikko Rantanen is good for 40 goals, I think. And then I'll let you go with your top guys before we get into some sleepers as well.
Yeah, so I do believe David Pastrnak, him and his Barbie girl self, is the best right winger in the National Hockey League. I would like to give a special shout out to Mark Stone, who I have had in fantasy hockey before. I have won with Mark Stone before, too, as a member of the Ottawa Senators. He now plays for the Vegas Golden Knights. And I'm a big fan of Mark Stone because he's so good in every asset of hockey. But in fantasy, the most important thing are the offensive numbers, and he provides those, too.
And the one thing that...
What?
The one thing Mark Stone has on David Pastrnak is his all-aroundness. I'll give you that. This dude...
Oh, yeah, he's the best all-around winger in the game.
He kills penalties. He'll get you shorthanded points. Mark Stone is a great... If you value the total number of points and maybe some more goals, especially on the power play, Pastrnak's the guy. But if you're looking for an all-around player who's going to get, you know, penalty killing time as well as power play time, Mark Stone is that guy.
Yeah, and we brought up Pat Kane earlier in the show because of the 400th goal stuff. I mean, Patrick Kane is still a premier fantasy hockey right wing. Would you agree?
Yes, I think it would be hard to pass him up. And if I, depending on where I picked, you know, if he's sitting there, it's always going to be hard to pass up on Patrick Kane because I truthfully believe he's capable of putting up 100 points next year and leading the Blackhawks to a playoff spot. So,
yeah, and Ovechkin is currently listed as a left wing, right? We talked about him last week.
Yes, he is.
Same with Panarin.
Yes.
Okay.
Right?
So, like, yeah, no, we did. And I want to give a special shout-out to Mitchell Marner, too. I know you don't like him because he's on the list.
Yeah, I skipped his name.
I know.
I would never draft Mitchell Marner because fantasy hockey is different than fantasy football. I would pass on Mitch Marner because I can get someone almost as good right under him, and I would rather that.
That's stupid.
It's not stupid.
Yeah, it is, because Mitch Marner is elite.
He is elite, but
he might lead the league in assists besides McDavid.
That's fine. If Mitch Marner's sitting there and Mikko Rantanen's right under him, I'm taking Mikko Rantanen because of the fact I'd rather root for the Colorado Avalanche than the stupid Leafs.
Your hatred for the Leafs matches my hatred for the Cubs, and I will hear nothing else. I will hear nothing else. You rip on me. You say you don't like the Cubs either, but you don't hate them as much as me. Well, you hate the Leafs just as much.
You can have Austin Matthews on this show. This is a hockey podcast. Call up Austin Matthews. Call up Mitch Marner. Call up John Tavares. I would never in a million years throw a fucking Leafs hat on my head, and you would put a Cubs hat on. So maybe I hate him more than you.
I said I would wear a Chicago Cubs hat if Patrick Wisdom came on the show. And I think that's a fair – and you told me I can't do that. It would ruin me.
There's your Cubs hat. That should be the only Cubs hat that we see on your head, because that is very off-brand of you to just throw on a Cubs hat for one guy coming on the show. I can't believe it. I was stunned when you said that.
Was that Bradley Aldridge?
That was, I think, a little flash.
Really funny.
Well, yeah. Yeah, thank you. There's the hobby thumbs down for you. We need to make this a point to somehow get Patrick Wisdom on our Thursday show. And I want to call your bluff. There's no way you wear a Cubs hat.
We'll see what happens. We'll see. I would really like to have that happen. And, you know, to the Cub fans who say I hate them so much, and I mean, I've done plenty for the Cubs on our Thursday show. Make sure you tune in every Thursday, 2 p.m. Crosstown Crosstalk. You could check in the meantime last week's interview with Brennan Davis, the Chicago Cubs' number one prospect. So don't say I don't do anything for you, Cub fans. Fantasy hockey, right wings. Is there anyone that you would consider like a sleeper? I don't really have any like super sleeper right wingers. It's probably the least deep position of the forward groups, I would say.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Line A is probably my biggest sleeper. Because if he had like a big goal scoring year, any year of his career until he's done, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I guess a sleeper for me would be a full season on this team. He looked very good in the playoffs, especially last year. He was acquired at the deadline, and that's Kyle Palmieri. I think you might be able to get him pretty late. He probably wasn't even drafted last year, so maybe he won't even be drafted. But, I mean, I think there is a good argument with a full season on the New York Islanders to be had for him to, you know, be a fantasy value-worthy player on the New York Islanders.
Yeah, I actually really like that pick. You know me. I'll be a Kyle Palmieri guy forever. He was sick on the New Jersey Devils. So.
And then there's one guy I want to say that, but I'll let you go next because I want to pull up his stats real quick.
Well, the one person I was going to mention was TJ Oshie. And TJ Oshie, I don't want to say he had a down year last year, but like you didn't hear about him quite as much as you normally do. And playing on a power play with Alexander Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and John Carlson, and you're like the net mouth guy on that, you're going to come up with some points over an 82-game season. So I like Oshie. I wouldn't draft him like super high anymore, but isn't Blake Wheeler considered a right winger too?
He's a center right wing flex in most Yahoo leagues, I believe.
So smart people would use him in the right wing.
I think I could be wrong about that.
If that's the case, I would say smart people use him on the right wing because center is so deep.
Yeah. No, he might be only a right wing actually. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So
another pick. Tyler Toffoli was awesome in Montreal. He, you know, he was pushing a goal lead for a good portion of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So a full, who knows what an 82 game year in Montreal will do over there. And then another guy who's for sure going to be undrafted in your league. He's playing right under David Pastrnak a full year. It hurts that David Krejci's not there, but a full year with Taylor Hall, you know, it could make a difference for a guy like Craig Smith, who's going to be an undrafted right wing in your league. I'm not going to draft him. I'm not telling you to draft him if you're playing fantasy hockey, but keep an eye on him because he will find his way on my team at some point, being picked up via waiver or, you know, guys get hurt. Keep an eye on Craig Smith, especially if Taylor Hall and if Charlie Coyle play center on that second line. That could be a top line in the NHL.
Part of me does think he's going to get drafted.
I mean, he got really hot last year at one point to where he was scoring every game for like 2 weeks straight.
Did he have 20?
I think he finished just shy of 20 in a 50 game.
But in a 50, in 56 games, that translates to like 28 goals.
Yeah.
If Craig Smith scored 28 goals for the Bruins this season, he'll be top five on the team in goal. He'll be top four on the team in goal scoring, and they'll be five wins better.
Yeah, and don't forget, all those goals he had last year, pretty much all of them were without Taylor Hall.
Yes, exactly. So,
I think Taylor Hall, having a whole, like, I keep wanting to call it spring training, a whole training camp of Taylor Hall and forming that chemistry, with hopefully with Charlie Coyle, and having a second line. I think Taylor Hall has the skill to drive a line as a winger. We've seen it in New Jersey. So Craig Smith is going to have sleeper value there at right wing. We'll see how Cam Atkinson does over in Philadelphia. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Right wings. It's not the deepest forward position, but you can definitely find value if you do enough research. It's one of those positions where, like, take advantage of guys who are center right wing flex. Like if Blake Wheeler, if that's the case for him this season, depending on how things go. Because I know there have been times in Winnipeg where it is Shifley Wheeler as a 1-2 punch down the middle, but they have Pierre-Luc Dubois now. So does Wheeler make the full transition to right wing? you know, I don't know how Winnipeg is going to be this season. I actually am kind of low on them going into 2021-22, but they'll score lots of goals.
Yeah. And a guy that I always had, or I love having, I had him last year in my, you know, victory reign, TJ Oshie. He is just a stud who very underrated, who just always seems to figure it out no matter what team he's on, no matter what position he gets drafted in. He ends up potting like close to 30 goals.
Yeah. Were you doing research when I was talking about him? Like, did you hear me talk about him?
Oh, you said you mentioned his name.
I into a full spiel on why TJ Oshie should be drafted. And I brought up the guy he plays with on the power play. No, I don't care. I think it's funny that we both see TJ Oshie as someone who could bring value to your squad.
Yeah, my bad. I was definitely looking up like Craig Smith's numbers.
But playing the net mouth on the power play with Ovechkin ripping one tease from Carlson, and Kuznetsov and Backstrom are both premier passers playing on the other half wall. So
he plays a very unique position in the power play. He does what Patrice Bergeron does, and TJ Oshie's up there for one of the best in the league at it. He plays what's called the bumper, where he'll sit high slot. He'll bump passes over to the hash marks. He'll go back to the D. So a puck will come down to the circle. It'll be one tapped to Oshie. And then if he doesn't have a shot, he'll bump it back to the point. He'll bump it down low, and then they'll send it across for Ovechkin. The bumper is probably one of my favorite positions that someone can be in on the power play. And TJ Oshie plays it amongst the best in the league. So, and then he'll be getting his, like, little half slappers, you know, he'll be lining up in that bumper position at the high slot, and a pass, the best way to do it, a pass comes down from below the goal line. Typically you have a left-handed like person standing to the left of the net beyond the goal line, and they'll one touch it right up to the bumper, and he'll one time it right in.
And not every team uses a bumper.
No, it's to me the most effective power play setup, having a guy in like Ovi's office, you know, a guy in front of them who could also move down low, one guy at the point, one guy in the bumper, and one guy at the other faceoff circle. It's hard to get a visual here unless you know what I'm talking about, but the bumper position, TJ Oshie does it amazing.
Yeah, I agree. TJ Oshie, draft him in your fantasy leagues if you could get good value on him. Right wings are interesting.
Yeah.
Period number three.
Yep, let's do it. Let's
send it over to period number three. And welcome to period number three of Bar Down Blackhawk Talk, presented by the Bar Room Network. For Joey, I'm Vinny. Olympics. We talked about it kind of in depth last week, but we did more of like just the world in general. The NHL and IIHF did officially come to an agreement on sending National Hockey League players to the Olympics for 2022. So the NHL, that 3-week break in the schedule, it's going to be used for Olympic participation. Are you pumped?
I am so pumped. You have no idea. We might make mention of the Olympics like almost every show. Like, this is a long stretch. We've done it for like 4 weeks straight now where we mention the Olympics. I know it's the off season, but as we get closer to that, two-week break in February, some of our favorite players in the world are going to be going on the Olympic stage. And you know, you watch the Olympics, the thing that makes it like special and cool for me, you watch the Olympics, like you could watch the Summer Olympics, or you know, a few years ago you were able to watch even the Winter Olympics, and you're watching these tremendous athletes, but you don't really know anyone. You're watching like your country versus other countries, and then you end up watching just two random countries, and you're thoroughly enjoying it just because, you know, you like sports. Just being able to see our favorite players go and participate in these games is just very special. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, like the big ones, like Simone Biles.
Exactly. And yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you just root for whoever has the red, white, and blue.
Yeah, like who goes into a game or a tournament? Like, imagine you go into like a, you know, a 40 meter dash or whatever, and you just know everyone who's lined up.
Yeah,
it doesn't really happen. But when you watch an Olympic hockey game as a hockey fan, you're going to know these whole rosters, and it makes it that much more exciting.
Yeah, it's the same thing for basketball, but even the worst USA team will win the gold.
Yeah.
So USA is not even going to be the favorite for gold. They might be second, and that's where I want to go. Mike Sullivan was named the head coach a few weeks back. We did talk about it for a while. He named his assistant coaches a couple days ago over the weekend, and that would be John Hines, Todd Reirden, David Quinn, and Ryan Miller, who we have also talked about a bunch on this show when he officially announced his retirement from the National. It's a not a bad group of head coach or coaches for the Olympics, but there are some surprising names on there, guys who have been fired lately. And, you know, you just think there'd be a little bit different flavor. Like, no John Cooper surprises me.
Yeah.
So, or is John Cooper?
John Cooper is the head coach of Team Canada.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
The one that surprises me the most, it's not Ryan Miller. It's David Quinn. You know, you think they would go with someone who has a little more experience coaching. And I'll get into why Ryan Miller makes more sense to me in a second. But David Quinn, you know, he's coming off of what, 1 or 2 years with the Rangers? Did he coach 2 years?
I want to say it's three.
Three? And it wasn't, you know, the most successful tenure, but he ultimately got fired. And did he get a new job yet? No, right?
No.
Yeah, so he's currently unhired in the NHL. He will have a coaching career, I think. I think very highly of him, but I don't know. Maybe the USA coaching staff candidates are a little slim this time around. John Hines also surprised me too. I know you used to like John Hines, but John Hines has really never impressed me as a coach. I loved seeing Ryan Miller because I think he is, you know, we talk about the players who go on to be good coaches, and it's not maybe necessarily the players who were the best. And Ryan Miller was a phenomenal goaltender, but I think he'd be able to teach that position better than he was able to do it, if that makes sense.
I think there's a pretty clear explanation for almost every guy who was named.
It's a very young staff as well.
It's a young staff. David Quinn went to Boston College.
He coached it.
Mike Sullivan went there and is from that area. John Hines and Mike Sullivan worked together with the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. So there's lots of mass flavor in this staff. You could just feel the New England clam chowder and Dunkin' Donuts when looking at this, you know, coaching staff. And it makes perfect sense to me. I just hope it works out.
I mean, the only thing that doesn't make sense then for you is Ryan Miller. But like I said, I think he could be a very successful goaltending coach in the NHL. And every team has a goaltending coach. I don't know how people know that. There's a goaltending coach that every team has. And it's often players who were very, very intelligent about the position, but maybe weren't necessarily the best. Ryan Miller was amongst the best for his era, yes. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's able to really, you know, teach that.
Who's the last goalie to medal at the Olympics from the NHL on Team USA?
To medal?
Yeah. It's Ryan Miller. So I think the experience plays a factor. Hey, I lost in overtime in the Olympic gold medal game to Canada, and it took a weird ass shot by Crosby after Parisi tied it. I'll always bring that up. Top three moment in my hockey watching life.
Damn, so he wants his revenge, even though coaches don't get medals.
Yeah, I know that, but still.
He wants his revenge, which is stupid. Yeah, I guess.
It's Olympic participation.
Yeah, I guess it's not that stupid.
Yeah, I mean, either way, though, you're a silver medal, gold medal, or bronze medal winning coach, like, anybody would want that. So yeah. I like the staff. Do you think Team USA has any chance? Because I do.
I know you do. I just think they're not going to win their group. That goes to Canada.
Why? Why?
Canada's better in every single way.
But why can't Team USA be a better team?
They can.
I believe they can, and I believe they will.
They can. They won't.
They will.
They won't.
Team USA is going to win the gold medal.
And I also don't think they're better than Russia. So now you're asking to beat two teams that are better than you. Just my opinion. We'll see how it goes.
Russia?
Yes. I'm sorry.
The name.
The Olympic athletes from Russia. Sorry.
Thank you.
Russia
comes in fifth.
No.
Finland.
So I hope I'm wrong.
Finland and Sweden are better.
I think Finland might be better than the USA this time around.
All right, that's just mean.
They beat them in 2012 or 2014.
You're thinking of the World Cup of Hockey?
No. Team Finland beat Team USA for the bronze medal in 2014.
Okay, and I'm not making excuses. You're right. They did. I hated both of those Team USA teams. They were poorly constructed Team USA teams. They're taking guys like specifically to kill penalties. You know who could kill penalties? Your bottom forwards of your elite forward group, like your fastest guys. McDavid can kill penalties. He really can. It's not all about blocking shots and
but you also
anymore when it comes to penalty killing. If McDavid's the fastest guy on the ice on either team, he could kill some penalties. Him and Draisaitl are like one of the best shorthanded duos in the league. And I know your Boston Bruins have an elite shorthanded duo as well. Like, they're elite players that kill penalties. Like, you can't.
That will be the best penalty. That'll be the best penalty killing duo of the tournament.
Yeah, 100%. And Team USA needs to look at it that way too. Hey, who on Team USA can kill penalties? Well, Jack Eichel, he's really fast. He could kill penalties. Who from the Blackhawks do you believe will play in the Olympics?
The obvious is number 88, Patrick Kane, will be. He could captain this team. He could very well captain.
I don't think he will, but he could.
He could very well captain
Maybe
Team
Kane. Will.
I think he might.
His only competition is Austin Matthews.
Yeah, but I mean, at this point, do you want to go with the guy who. Captain, it doesn't really mean match. You might go with the guy who's been there four times.
Yeah.
Three times. Opposed to the guy who's never been there. I'm saying that right now. I think Patrick Kane will be the captain of Team USA.
I don't hate it.
Alex DeBrincat.
No Pavelski, no Parisi. So.
That you think, yeah. I think DeBrincat will make it for sure.
Yep.
Probably. Hopefully playing with Patrick Kane. They oftentimes keep, you know, team chemistry in line when playing in international. I think Seth Jones will be a top defenseman for Team USA. And I think Marc-Andre Fleury will definitely see time for Team Canada as well. It'll be him and Carey Price as the top two. I don't know who the third is going to be, but I'm definitely going to go with Marc-Andre Fleury making it, you know, behind Carey Price. Not going to be the starter. If it's a medal game, Carey Price will have the net, but Marc-Andre Fleury will get games in the round robin and stuff. And then I didn't know that we found this out last week when we were looking up, you know, players from each country. I didn't know that Kubalík was from the Czech Republic. I just never put two and two together. And I definitely think he makes Team Czech.
Yes. What about Taves?
I do not think Jonathan Taves will make Team Canada.
Wow.
Team Canada.
That's one of the bigger storylines going into the season. Taves is a guy who could play his way into the tournament, though.
Maybe, but no. Look at their center lineup, dude. And I don't see Taves playing a winger, and I don't see any of these guys. You got Nathan MacKinnon. You got Connor McDavid. You got Sidney Crosby, who's already pushing Patrice Bergeron to the right wing. And there's going to be... There are better centers, dude. Jonathan Taves, I don't even think can play his way into this tournament. He could if he has like 100 points or 100 point pace come February, maybe. But the team should be pretty planned out by then. So I don't see Jonathan Taves making it.
You think Taylor Hall has a better chance of making it than Taves?
100%.
Interesting. Very interesting. Do you think what Bruins do you think are going to play? Because really quick, I think, well, Nico Hischier is going to play for the Swiss, and Jack Hughes might play for Team USA, depending on how his season goes. If he plays, that means he'll be one of their best players, because that would mean he was one of the Devils' best players and played his way on. So, he'll probably play with the Tkachuk brothers, and they could form the Jack-ass line.
Did we talk about USA goalies?
No.
Who's, like, the top candidates now? Spencer Knight?
Spencer Knight, Connor Hellebuck will probably be the starter.
Oh, Connor Hellebuck. Yeah, okay. So yeah. Connor Hellebuck. I'm just going to say, if Jeremy Swayman has numbers like he did last year, this dude can be the third goalie. He had like a 2.1 goals against, like for a significant amount of time.
Yep.
That's all I'll say.
If Swayman makes Team USA, I'll do 3 shots of Pink Whitney on this show.
I'm just saying, you asked what Bruins have a chance. I'm just getting the honorable mention out of the way early. If he puts up the numbers that he put up last year, which is possible, I'm not saying he has to be any better. If he does what he did last year, he's Team USA's third string goalie.
I wouldn't hate it. I want Team USA to win the gold so bad.
Yeah, I know.
So bad.
I want it too, but I just Team Canada, man. Their second line is going to consist of 2 Bruins. I'll get those out of the way right now. Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron are locks. Guaranteed so Team Canada.
For the second line now. We had that argument.
Yes, I do. I think...
Was Vinny right?
No, it's just Connor McDavid is not going to be on a second line. But... No, I never disagreed that they're going to be the second line. I think they're going to
be the top line.
They're going to be the best line.
No, they're not.
They will have more. They will be more valuable. They will be out there at the end of the game. They'll be out there when the team needs a big goal. Yes.
Nope.
Okay, we'll see. Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand from the Bruins. Obviously, David Pastrnak for Team Czech.
Oh, yeah. He'll probably be the leading scorer.
David Krejci. I'm just going to go ahead and say his name because he's a Bruin forever for Team Czech. Taylor Hall has a chance. Honorable mention, I would say, as of right now, no. I think Charlie McAvoy for sure for Team USA. And with this coaching staff, and who knows, I'm going to say Matt Grzelcyk as well. I'm going to say Charlie McAvoy go in as a pair with Matt Grzelcyk.
I would have to look at all the eligible players. I can't co-sign that because they're just – like, I still see Suter making it, Seth Jones, Quinton Hughes will play.
Ryan Suter does not make it.
Yes, he does. Ryan Suter will play for Team USA. 100%. McDonough might.
Yes, Ryan McDonough.
So that's just how I see it.
I wouldn't be surprised one bit if especially if David Quinn has something to say about it. He was the captain at BC. And Charlie McAvoy, that's his defense partner.
Yes. Well, the BC
could it be like a, you know, from 4 or I guess 8 years ago now or 9 years ago now, could it be a Seabrook going with Keith kind of thing?
Yes, I don't think Seabrook was a carry on though in 2010.
He was in 14 to Sochi.
I don't think he was on the team in Sochi.
He didn't go with Keith?
No, I think he went with Keith in 10.
Oh, I thought, are you sure?
I would have to like triple check, but I'm pretty sure.
Either way, I wouldn't be surprised one bit if Matt Grzelcyk made it. I'm not saying for sure. McAvoy's a for sure. He is a for sure Team USA.
Yes. He could be their captain.
Maybe.
Seabrook was a top 10 NHL defenseman. The Hawks won 3 cups because they had 4 top 20 defensemen. So yeah. Seabrook might have made Team Canada no matter what. Team he was on in the NHL. Stan Bowman is the general manager of Team USA.
I just verified it. I know we mentioned it a few weeks ago when they first announced it. I was just.
Yeah, because Team USA was like, yeah, he's done a real good job putting the Blackhawks together. Let's have him put Team USA together. Don't mess this up, Stan, or I'll come for you.
Yeah. Go ahead and give us your New Jersey Devils, who you think is going to make it? Because I'm sure you agree with most Blackhawks.
No, I agree with your Blackhawks, and agree with your...
Oh, no. I forgot one.
Grzelcyk makes it. I hope Grzelcyk makes it.
I forgot one who I guarantee, I think, I genuinely think this. I think Linus Allmark has a chance to be one of the 3 goalies for Team Sweden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be their starter.
I forgot he was a Bruin.
Robin Lehner will be their starter.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Linus Allmark will play 100%.
And I'll go ahead, as I said, Krejci. I'll go ahead and say Rask. If Tuukka's 100% healthy.
For Finland.
Yeah. He's their starter.
Maybe. Because Pekka retired.
Pekka retired, and Juuse Saros will be his backup.
Yeah. Juuse Saros came in like 4th for the Vezina, but.
I get that, but.
Over a guy.
You act like Tuukka Rask's had like bad numbers.
No, I just know he is not going to play much between now and January. And Juuse Saros is.
That's true. Maybe he'll even turn it down. Who knows?
Yeah. The Devils, Nico Hischier will play for Swiss. Jesper Bratt will play for Sweden. Mackenzie Blackwood has an outside chance at the third string goalie. Like an outside chance. Jack Hughes could play for Team USA. Dougie Hamilton will play for Team Canada.
Yeah.
That is, am I forgetting anyone? I honestly think, oh,
if PK's time is done as an Olympian.
Is Belgium in? Because then Yegor Sharangovich might. Jani Kuokkanen might crack Team Finland.
I'll be honest. There were two flags I didn't know in the groups.
Kuokkanen might play for Finland. Right? Kuokkanen could play for Finland if he has a really good year. If he has like 35 assists by December.
Maybe. There's a lot of like good Finnish people.
I know. But like as a fourth line, like good player. They're not as deep as USA or Canada at the forwards.
Yeah.
So, is Tatar? You know who, is Tatar Czech?
Yeah, Tomáš Tatar is from Czech, I believe.
He will play.
Yeah, I forgot he was on the Devils actually.
Good pickup. I'm excited about that.
Someone who was kind of vocal online about when they announced that they were, you know, going to the Olympics for sure. I forget what he said. I don't know exactly what he tweeted or posted on Instagram or whatever, but he was on social media right after it happened, and that's Teemu Selanne. Do you think he has a chance to either probably not play? I think Team Finland's way too deep, and I do believe he still is playing hockey somewhere in some league. For fun. Do you think he could coach this team?
That'd be sick.
That would be so sick. Because
that would up my rooting interest in Finland so much.
When they went in 2014, they had, I think they had some of the coolest jerseys as well. They were just all blue with the white stripes. Their jersey was literally the Finnish flag. It was so sick. You weren't able to buy them anywhere, otherwise I would own a Tuukka Rask one. I do have the Tuukka Rask World Cup jersey.
Swami.
But I have this picture of Teemu like skating with his bronze medal or a trophy or something. I don't know if he was the MVP of or he won something for that bronze medal game. I don't know. I have a picture of Teemu Selanne and it's really cool. So
yeah,
if he was the coach. Yeah. He was always the captain of that team too for us.
Yep. There was another one I wanted to bring up. I know Team Sweden is going to be very good. Their defense is deep. Jager. Could he play for Czech?
No, I think he's just too slow.
Big you ice know, too over in is it Beijing?
Beijing. Yeah, it's in Beijing. He I do think Jager's still productive over in his league because he is still playing currently.
Yeah, oddly enough. What is he, 48 now?
Yeah, and he's still productive in that league, but and he would be productive if everyone else was his speed. I truly believe he'd be able to put up 80 points if every single skater that he skated on the ice with was his speed. He's that good at still.
That's like
exactly. And so going to the Olympics, like when Czech plays against Team Canada, these guys are just going to blow by him because he's just not as fast anymore. So for that reason, he probably won't be. But you know, if the legs were still there, he would be playing. Freaking Jaromir Jagr. Yeah, I would love him to coach this team.
That would be interesting.
That would be
GM or something. Be somewhat involved with the Czech Republic.
No, you gotta have him on the bench. Imagine him like being in Pasta and Krejci's ear.
Yeah. So next week on the show, we are going to be dangerously close to the preseason starting. So we got some pretty big things planned. I'm very excited to get into actual hockey again. I think we did a great job in the summer, personally, finding content to talk about and, you know, just BS about football and argue with people about Trevor Lawrence and the Cubs and, you know, just ways to fill in the summer. It's harder to get guests in the summer. Everybody's kind of like away. Like I've reached out to so many people for hockey and it's just not there right now. But you know, we got some big things planned for the actual season when everybody's back to doing it. Not everyone's a psychopath like me and you who just like to sit here and ramble about hockey when it's 90 degrees outside and not a single game is being played in North America.
Yeah, exactly. You said we'll be like a couple weeks away from the preseason, not spring training.
I know where this is going.
What?
You're going to bring up the prospect challenge.
No, I wasn't going to bring that up. I was going to talk about going to it. We're going to check the Blackhawks, you know, schedule, and we should go to a preseason game.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm down to do that for sure. That's... But we'll be into the prospect challenge by this time next week, right?
Yeah, the prospect challenge, a little tournament between the Devils, Bruins, Sabres. Did you ever find out if Pittsburgh was involved this year?
No, I don't think they are. But if they are, they'll be added. But every team kind of does it. So the Blackhawks have the Wild in Detroit. I'm excited for this kind of stuff, man. We're going to be breaking down these prospects. And
they're fun games to watch, too. Like, I watch those games on some shitty stream on my phone, and I fucking love it. I love every second of it.
Yeah, me too.
Even the preseason games, like, I get invested in preseason games for some reason. I don't know why. It's like, just whenever I watch my team play, I don't care what it is. I just want to see them do well.
Preseason baseball or hockey to me is the exact same thing as preseason football. You're not looking at the final score. You don't care who's playing against who. You care about watching individuals and how they think the game. So if you're watching a preseason game, and Jack Hughes makes a pass to Yegor Sharangovich, and it's a pass through the legs of a defender, and he had the supreme confidence to make this play, and it works, you're like, yeah, I'm excited for that player. Like, that to me but if the Devils win like 9-1, no, I don't care about that. That's not what excites me. It's like, how did you get to 9-1?
I do. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, well, we all need reasons to feel good in the world.
Before we go, I have a question for you. I was watching I guess you can call it an emergency podcast that the crew over at Bulls 101 had, and Laro asked if you were on an island, and he asked, if you're on an island, you can only have one food the rest of your entire time living on the island for the rest of your life, what would it be? And they got into this huge topic, and I was watching it, and so I just wanted to bring that topic from Bulls 101 over to you and ask you, if you were on that island, what would you eat?
So if I can have an unlimited amount of food, of one kind of food?
Yeah, one kind of food. And you said it's like a meal. So like if you choose a burger, you're not just choosing like beef or bread, a burger, you get all the ingredients on the burger.
Yeah, so like I want to say my answer is chicken wings. So like, okay, do I get my choice timeout, Bannerman's, that place we went to in the city yesterday?
I think you get chicken wings. I mean you would probably have to choose one wing, like a chicken wing.
Yeah, I think I would go with chicken wings.
Yeah, for me it's pizza. I believe Lara also said he said Lou Malnati's pizza, pepperoni and sausage. I don't know about that. I personally would just go with probably see, if you can only pick one flavor, I would go with
Then I would choose Timeout, for those who don't know, Northwest Suburbs, Hanover Park, Timeout West, my favorite wings in the world, probably my favorite meal in the world. So that's what I would choose for sure.
Yeah. I'd probably go with pizza of some kind. I don't know. I like a New York style thin crust. I truly believe I have not yet found my favorite pizza ever. I try pizza from all over the place. I guess my favorite Chicago pizza is for sure Giordano's. I know I'll get hate for that because everyone loves Lou's a little better, but I love a Giordano's.
50-50 split, I would say. I like both equally.
Yeah, and we got here a three steak taco dinner. That's a phenomenal answer. Corn tortilla.
Really, I love tacos. Yeah. Tacos are on my Mount Rushmore of food is chicken wings, pizza, tacos, and sushi.
Yeah.
So I was
watching that little emergency show that they did, and when he brought that up, I was like, I got to just ask Vinny. And I was hoping he'd be in the chat at some point, but we'll have to let him know that
this is an open invitation to our good friend, Larry Golden Laro, to come on. And what?
I didn't know anyone else knew about Villanopoly. What? That blew my mind when he said Villanopoly.
Oh my goodness. I want to know who this guy is. I am Scox. Follow me on Twitter at Vinny Parisi and send me a DM right now. We need to talk.
Yeah. Villanopoly has been a staple in our house. And we're not even from that area.
We don't live close anymore.
Yeah.
our dad grew up in that area, I believe, right? And that was his, that's like his go-to spot.
It's Italianville.
Very. It's a little Italy. He said he's 5 minutes away from it. Every time we're in that area, we get a pie. We eat it there sometimes. We bring some back. Villanopoli. And every time someone asks, like, what's your favorite pizza? You know, if we say Villanopoli, no one's
saying that because nobody knew what it was.
No one's ever heard of it. So that was, that just made my day.
Oh, I'm literally thinking right now about getting in the car and going to get a pie right now. I love that place. It's not the kind of place you can't bring it back to Bartlett.
Yeah, like, it's like a 45-50
You either eat it there or you're an asshole.
50-minute drive, yeah.
Hop over to the bar right next door and grab a great tasting, less filling while you're at it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, oh, Villanopoli. Is it technically Norwich?
I think. I don't know. I don't want to like bring down the mood, but we always go there when someone dies.
I was going to say that it used to be like the best part of someone dying.
Yeah.
Which is then, so bad. Yeah. You're a dick for even bringing that up and putting that
in. I mean, I speak facts. It's right by the funeral home. You know, every time we go up that way, it's, well, let's get some pizza.
I'm checking to see.
Let's get some pizza. They would have loved this.
I want to know right now what it gets on the one by one.
If it's even like registered, who knows? It's a small little joint that not many people know about.
No, it's definitely down there. I hear a little bit of an echo coming from your microphone.
From me?
Yeah. Yes, it is technically in Norwich. Dude, it's only got a 7.0 on the One Bite app, 14 reviews.
I don't know.
Kind of low. Those people are stupid, though. You got to go there. Like, oh my God, Villanopoli is amazing. Yeah, agreed. We just talked about food for like an extra 10 minutes. So we've done football, hockey, and food. Let's just talk a little baseball so then we can talk about our four favorite things in life.
Well, you're going to have to wait till tomorrow, 2 p.m. Crosstown Crosstalk, to hear a little bit more about baseball, where we talk about – we'll probably talk more about our trip to Atlanta, how awesome Truist Park is, and our new Braves fandom. People are going to get mad if we call ourselves Braves fans, but they're a sick team.
They're my NL team for now, until further notice.
Yeah, I'm still sticking with my California squad. We'll also, you know, tune in tomorrow to hear about the fun stuff we have planned this weekend in terms of watching baseball.
Big time. Cannot wait. This is an open invitation to our good pal, Laro, to come on this show and talk about pizza with us. And we'll talk about the Bulls, too. Or have me on your show for once in your life. You came on South Burbs Hitman, and we had a great time. Make sure you check that out every Monday night at 7:45. Very excited to talk White Sox with the boys after having an off week this week due to a bunch of different, you know, reasons why we did that. You know, every Wednesday, 2 p.m., Bar Down Blackhawk Talk. Crosstown Crosstalk every Thursday, 2 p.m. All the other great shows across the Barroom Network. You got Dan and Aldo. You got Mike North, Bulls 101, Friendly Confines. There's so much great stuff. It's honestly crazy how great the stuff is.
It is.
Oh, you're just going to give me a head nod and go.
Because I never know if you're going to close out the show and like, or you're just going to ramble and ramble and then throw it to me. Like, or you're just going to be like,
I kind of want to talk more about pizza. But
I need to have a Giordano's Lou Malnati's debate with Laro on one of these shows,
and I'll be the mediator because I like both, like pretty evenly. I honestly think fighting over them. I'm just gonna say my take. I think fighting over them is fucking stupid.
We should sit down somewhere with both pies in front of us and have a live stream at a table. Where we just eat pizza and debate about it. We'll order wings and make it a food show. Let's have a food show.
Ooh. Can you imagine the endless possibilities with that? Yeah.
And it could be like a Chicago-themed food show. Because one of my favorite things, we're driving downtown. We saw like four of them yesterday over on the north side. That you see that yellow Vienna beef sign. I want to make it a thing to show up and try a hot dog. I want to like start a list. That's like a goal of mine. I want to review Vienna beef, like little hot dog joints.
Now, do you want these places to know who you are? Like, oh, here comes Joey. Better make him the best hot dog possible.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I would love. Like, make me the hot dog guy. I'll come in. I'll order your Chicago dog. And then I eat it. And I look at the dog, the, you know, fixtures. So, like, how much of a Chicago style is it? And the fries. Every one of those hot dogs comes wrapped in the fries. If you've ever had Gene and Jude's, any one of those hot dog little stands.
Favorite hot dog you've ever had?
My favorite hot dog I've ever had is probably Gene and Jude's. I'm a big Gene and Jude's guy over in, I think it's Franklin Park.
I think it is. It's by Rosemont, kind of.
Yeah. Here's our...
The tiki bar that our buddy Jarrett likes to take us to all the time. Yeah. Shout out, Jarrett.
And for those who don't know Villanopoly, like this stuff.
Oh, I've never had deep dish from Villanopoly.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, no. Okay. I want to try deep dish.
I've never tried the deep dish.
We're getting two pies next time we go.
We usually get the Sicilian style square cut.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Part of me thinks I'm going to make this happen sooner than you think. Like tonight.
I'll see it when I believe it.
I'll believe it when I see it. You like hockey? Was it a good show for you, hockey boy?
It was. Did I say I'll see it when I believe it?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I believe it when I see it.
Just I kind of like, thought I'll... you did it. I thought you did it on purpose to be like
one no, of those. No, I fucked that up.
No, whatever. Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. Shout out.
Judy.
Judy. I was just about to say it. The shout elf. Out Judy. Not the elf. The Santa Claus.
I said the elf.
Oh, yeah. Judy's good people. Hot chocolate. Not too hot. Extra chocolate. Shaken, not stirred. You know what it is over here. Like, we're Christmas guys, too. I can't wait to talk about Christmas on this show. These programs on the Barroom Network, I just love it so much because, like, we talk about our sports. We give our spiel. You give bad takes. I give good takes. And then we start talking about food where everyone's happy again. So, like, I'm just excited. Make sure you tune in tomorrow to Crosstown Crosstalk at 2 p.m. Follow at Joey Parisi on Twitter. Follow at Vinny Parisi on Twitter. And thank you for listening.